It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's Matt Slick Live, and I am your host, Matt Slick, S-L-I-C-K. It's a great radio name. It happens to be my real name as well, and born with it, learned to run as a kid. Did a lot. My dad was in the service, and we moved 26 times before I was 12. And I went to 12 different elementary schools, and I was a buck tooth and super skinny. And the last name Slick. And so let's just say, because of it, I have an extra large heart, and enlarged heart in a good way. My cardiologist one day, you know, he gave me a test, and the whole bit looks at me and said, "Did you do a lot of running when you were a kid?" Yeah. I got chased a lot. So, hey, you know, there you go. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have five open lines. We got people watching on YouTube. You have a comment or a question you want to address there. Hey, Terry Blade, how are you? And Carla, I guess that's there. Melissa, Charlie, and Ray, and others who are there. Thanks for watching via Facebook. And people like, I think, when I mention their names on the radio. Let's see if we can do that. Charlie Spine. Now, Charlie and I, years ago, we started stuff together, ministry. In fact, Charlie here is the guy who read me the quote from Joseph Smith that started me in doing apologetics. Maybe I'll read that quote just to kind of start things off in a little bit. And Terry Blade Johnson, she's an awesome woman, lives there in the Salt Lake City area. Stay with him whenever we go down that area. She's great. And anyway, so we got a lot of people. And you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that. I'm going to read that quote here in a little bit. But I'll get to it so I can read it. So, hey, look, if you want to support us, please consider doing that. Now, I'm going to let you know that that things are changing at CARM and for the better. And we are going to be making adjustments in some areas. We're getting all our P's and Q's in line and I's dotted, T's crossed. We're moving slowly forward. We are just doing a lot of good things are in the works. And we could use your support. What we're asking specifically, I hope this isn't too much to ask, but oops, got a little thread right there. It is a little thread was on the microphone. We're asking $10 a month for recurring support. It's not much. All you have to do is go to carm.org/donations. And if you were to do that, you could sign up for just $10 a month. It's not a whole bunch. But it would help us a great deal. And what we could do with that then is know how to budget everything that we are going to be doing, want to do, etc. And so it's carm.org/donation singular. And I'll put a donations thing to forward into that as well. But all you got to do is go there and you can check it out. We have different options. It says one says $25 monthly. That's the lowest. But you can do custom monthly as well. And just put any amount that you want. And it really does help us a lot. We do need it. It helps us keep the radio show on the air. And it also helps us pay for the missionaries. It helps us pay for you know, all the other stuff we got to do to keep things going, salaries and things like that. So there you go. You know, just letting you know. We'd really appreciate it. Just go to carm.org/donation. That would help. And also, if you want, you can sign up for the schools as well. We have schools that you can check out. The schools, just go to carm.org/. I think it's, just go to the homepage. And what you'll find there is a link in the middle of the page, online schools. And it's just carm.org/online-schools. So you can check that out, and you can get these great schools. They are there for your benefit. They're there for you to learn. And I have put my heart and soul into these things. I've been learning a great deal. I'm not your average everyday Christian in the sense that I live this all the time. In the evenings, I'm usually debating. In the days, I'm usually writing and researching on a radio 5 days a week. I'm just always doing something. Even in my spare time, I'll get on my phone, go into Facebook, go into all kinds of different Facebook pages, and I'm typing in information. I'll probably get back into paltalk.com and start doing some teaching in there as well and some other things that are going on. So I'm just doing a great deal. And from all the experience and the hundreds and hundreds of hours that I mean, thousands, literally thousands of hours, not just hundreds, but thousands of hours of experience in debating, teaching, arguing, studying. I put all this knowledge into the three online schools. Not all, but I was able to put those schools in such a way so that you can get a lot out of them. They're packed. There's just jam-packed full of great information in a logically arranged format. Little by little, you can go through. And we just appreciate that if you would check them out. We really like that. $10 a month is what we would ask. Or, you know, you go to the schools, check them out, and stuff like that. So there you go. Why don't we get to Alexis from North Carolina. Alexis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
By God's grace, doing okay. What do you got?
Okay, I have a question for you. I find sometimes when I talk to people about Christianity, the difficulty isn't in talking about God or his existence. It's on simple things like what Christians believe. And one of the questions I have is, what happens when we die? Mm-hmm. So we know that our spirit or our breath goes back to God, but are we conscious? Do we have consciousness of that?
Yes.
Or do we stay asleep in the soul sleep, and then we're risen when Christ comes back, when he calls us?
Yeah, the soul sleep idea is a false teaching. It is not biblical.
Okay.
And what you're quoting there is spirit goes back, but the Lord, I think, is Ecclesiastes 12. I'm going to go to 12:9. And that's not it. The spirit of, I don't know the verses, returns, but where they are, let's see. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So the orthodox biblical position is that when we die, we either go be with the Lord or go to a judgment, place of judgment, of holding, place of judgment.
Mm.
Now, we know that when the body dies, that the soul continues. And we have an account in 2 Corinthians 12:2, where Paul, the apostle, says, I know a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But such a man was caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven is a dwelling place of God. And in there, he said, he saw things that were too wonderful to utter. So what he's saying is that whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Now, in the idea of soul sleep, what they're going to say, the main idea of it is that the soul and the human spirit are so intertwined that when the physical body dies, the soul can't continue. And so some say it actually ceases to exist. And that is a very serious problem, because then you don't have the issue of what's called continuity. And that's another topic. If it just goes into soul sleep, well, I ask them, what does that mean? What does it mean to go into soul sleep? They don't know what it means, but they use it. And they have this generic umbrella phrase they use, and they can't define what it is. And I'll ask them, is there soul activity? Is there brain activity? But there's brains for the physical body. So if it's soul sleep, what does that mean? That they're in a state of unconsciousness, but unconsciousness deals with biological issues. So tell me what it means. And they don't know. So when you start asking questions, diagnostic questions, you find out they don't even know what they're teaching. They don't. And if there's no activity at all in the soul, then how is a soul considered to be alive? If there is activity, what is that activity? Please tell us. And they don't know. So there's. I've written a lot on this. This is out of the doctrine called annihilationism. Okay. I've written 180 articles, dead even, 180 articles in that section alone. I learned a great deal from research. And so it's a false teaching, soul sleep. So what happens? We go be with the Lord. Matthew 25:46 talks about going to be. Let me just read this. And these will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So you either go to punishment
or life.
So
when we go to be with God, are we conscious of that?
Yes.
Do we
absolutely
have consciousness of that? Okay.
Yes, we do. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says that we to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. And so to be absent from the body, in the body or out of the body, I do not know, went to heaven. So absent from the body, to be out of the body, synonymous that Paul wrote, and he's conscious outside of the body. This refutes their idea of soul sleep. It's refuted right there from Scripture.
Okay.
So that's a false teaching. Okay, the unbelievers go to a place of judgment, a punishment.
Okay.
And the righteous go be with the Lord.
Well, thank you for that, because sometimes it's just very confusing. You read a lot of different things. Everyone is quoting, you know, scriptures to back up their position on it, and then you meet. Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is what I do for a living. Literally, this is what I do for a living.
Okay.
I debate these things, and I teach these things, and I argue with people. And I'm going to tell you that what you just said is very important. A lot of times people have their verses by which they will go, and they will make certain cases. So let me show you something here. Let me go to a verse that the Jehovah's Witnesses use. And they'll say, we have a verse that shows that Jesus is not God. For example, John 14:28. I'm going to teach a little technique here. This is what Jesus says. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So this is what they'll focus on. The Father is greater than I. Now, you could be talking to a Jehovah's Witness, and they would say, they do it like this. Are the God the Father and the Son equal? You say, well, yes, they're both God. Then why does Jesus say the Father is greater than he? John 14:28. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't know what to say. Well, and they say, if he's equal, then he'd be God. But if he's not equal, then he can't be God, can he? And you go, wow, that's a good point. And they stop there. And most people do not know how to think through these things. And I would say, so greater, what does it mean to be greater? What does it mean to be greater? Because they're saying, they'll quote this, he's greater. Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? The President of the United States is greater than I am in authority. In my own relationship with my wife, I'm greater than she is in responsibility in the marriage. Mm-hmm. Does it mean that she's not a human being because I'm greater than she is in the area of responsibility? Of course not. So that verse can't be used to show that Jesus is not divine. It just shows that he's in a lesser position because, for example, in Galatians 4:4, he was made for a little while lower than the angels. That's Hebrews 2:9. But in Galatians 4:4, it says he was made under the law. So he's made under the law and lower than the angels for a little while in the state that he was in before his resurrected glorified body. That's why he said the Father's greater than I. So you see, people say they have verses to bring up the position.
Yes.
But a Jehovah's Witness is an example. A Jehovah's Witness would say he has the verse. I'd say, it's not a verse that shows it. When you look at it and analyze it, their argument falls by the wayside. So when I say this stuff about studying soul sleep and this stuff, I've put in hundreds of hours into it. That doesn't mean I'm right, but it's not a true teaching. Unfortunately, it's on the rise, annihilationism. Soul sleep is taught by the Jehovah's Witnesses as well as Seventh-day Adventists. And there's all kinds of logical problems as well as biblical ones with it. So just don't buy into it. It's not a true position. Okay?
Well, thank you for the clarification. I just want to be able to say to people, if you're a Christian, what do you believe happens after death? And be clear about it.
Good for you. Well, there you go. Hope that helps, okay?
Okay.
All right, Alexa.
All right, thank you. Be blessed.
Hey, folks, we have 3 open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. We have 2 open lines, just like the announcer said, 877-207-2276. Let's get to, that would be Kyla from Los Angeles. Hey, Kyla, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, real quick, because I got to get back to work, but I was always under the impression under the impression that everyone will get a chance to get witnessed to before they die. Today, somebody told me that that's not necessarily true, that you can die and not hear the gospel.
Correct.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, think about this. Babies in the womb, babies who are aborted. What about people who are born in jungles, who don't have any outside connection with people in the world at all? There are people in, I think,
well,
in the Amazon.
Well, babies are innocent.
Hmm? What's that?
I was saying, well, babies are innocent.
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not.
Nope. Ephesians 2:3, we are by nature children of wrath. All of us have fallen in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. In Adam is a phrase called federal headship. He represented us in his fall, and we fell with him. So we inherit a sinful nature. You don't have to teach children how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. It's natural to them. So they are touched by sin as well. Now, whether or not babies who die go to heaven or hell, that's another topic. Okay.
Okay.
But, yes, there are many, many people who die without hearing the gospel. What if someone is raised in an atheistic home and the atheists just deny God, hate the idea of Christianity, and want nothing to do with it, and they, let's say, they homeschool their child. And, or before the kid goes to school, he dies from, it may not happen, but, you know, it's life, and dies before he even goes out. He's in trouble.
So, because some people have never got the chance to hear the gospel, they're just going to be destined for hell?
What I will say is that you must believe in Christ, but that's normally speaking. But what about infants who die in the womb? What happens to them? Well, we could make the case both ways, that they're saved, go to heaven, or that they're not saved and go to hell. We could make the case. I could make the case. Because, as already said, babies are affected by sin and are already touched by sin. But we know that King David, when his child died, David said, I will see him again in the resurrection. Well, they in the Old Testament didn't have the Messiah to pray to or trust in the cross. They had a different understanding and level of knowledge. And yet David said he would see his son in the afterlife. That's talking about redemption. So I don't like to talk, I don't like to say this is what absolutely will happen, because the Bible doesn't tell us. And so if babies all go to hell, then it's the right thing. If they all go to heaven, then it's the right thing. If some go to hell and some go to heaven, then it's the right thing. In other words, whatever happens is automatically the right thing, because God always does what's right by his nature and his essence. But he doesn't tell us, so we can't say. But there are people who have not heard the gospel, and they will die without that gospel. And so this is why it's important for us to get that gospel message out. And can God communicate to people without a formal introduction of the gospel? Absolutely. I remember a book called Bruchko, and that was the way the Motoloni tribe in Colombia, South America, pronounced Bruce Olson. You can look it up, Bruchko. It's a really interesting book. And long story short, he had blonde hair and blue eyes. He went down to the Motoloni tribe, and they had a prophecy in their tribe. This was an isolated group. Never seen any white people. And this blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy comes in with a Bible in his hand. I'm skipping details. And the prophecy that they had had in their group was that there would be a man with white hair who had the words of God on banana leaves who would come to them. Well, where'd they get the prophecy from? God has his way of communicating things. And there are lots of these kinds of stories. In fact, in the Middle East, Al Jazeera has said that thousands, there's reports of thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims having visions and dreams of Jesus, and they're converting to Christianity all over the world, particularly in the Middle East. God has his way of communicating, all right? So we can trust that he...
All right.
We just won't have all the good answers because he didn't tell us. Okay?
Got it. All right. That makes me sad a bit, but okay, Matt.
All the more reason for us to get the gospel out. Okay?
True. Okay.
Amen.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. All right, we have three open lines, folks. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. James from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, James.
Hey, Matt. On the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, talking about the return of Christ, and it says that he's going to be dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. What is obeying the gospel? Is that just a simple belief, or does it go further than that?
That's what we're talked about. The gospel is the euangelia, the good news. That's the word gospel. The Greek word is euangelia. And that word occurs in many places in the New Testament. It has a slight variety of meanings because it is used before the crucifixion, but it's defined properly in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, as the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, Jesus says in John 3:16, you got to believe, whoever believes in the Son. And he also says in John 3:36, or John the Apostle says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Obey the Son, well, won't see life. We have to obey the Son in order to see life. If we say that's keep commandments in order to be saved, then we have a heresy. So what is it? Jesus says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Believe on himself. Trust and believe in what he's done on the cross. And that's what's going on. That's what it means to obey that gospel, to have that belief and trust, the obedience of belief. And because we're commanded to believe in what he has done. And so what's interesting is in the verse in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who don't obey the gospel. So it might be that those who don't obey the gospel are the Jews, because they're the ones who knew about the coming Messiah and the Old Testament laws, requirements, prophecies, etc. And so they were not obeying what was necessary in the sense of trusting in the Messiah. So some commentators have stated or implied that the idea of that last statement is obey the gospel of the Lord deals with the Jews, where the first part, dealing with retribution of those who don't know God, is just like maybe the Gentiles who are ignorant. That's one of the theories there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just maybe a little side note from that. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who say they believe Jesus, but by their actions and their lifestyle, they don't. Mm-hmm. But they've been sold on easy believism, and I myself at mm-hmm. one point, then I realized that there are certain things that need to.
Hold on, we got a break coming up.
So anyways, maybe
we got a break. We'll talk to you about this after the break. You want to hold on? Because this is important, and sure. I'm going to address what you said there. Hold on, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please give me a call, 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. James, are you still there?
I am. I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to teach you two things. Now, I want to respond to the issue of people who have this easy believism thing, and then their life doesn't show any change. There's a word, theological word, called antinomianism. Antinomianism, anti against nomos law, antinomianism. And what it is this idea that they can sin because they're saved, it's okay. And that's what that is called, antinomianism, and it's a heresy. But here's the verse you need to
memorize. Yeah, I used to be there. I'm no longer there. Yeah, okay.
Good. Here's the verse you need to memorize, 1 John 2:4. And this is what you got to recite to them. If they say they're following Christ and their life doesn't show it, this is the verse. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so I have quoted that verse many times to people. Oh, you say you're Christian? Yeah. And you do this? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 2:4, if you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, the truth is not in you and you're a liar. So what I'm having to conclude is that This applies to you. And the judgment of God is upon you. And you should be afraid. Well, I believe in it. And also with the belief comes true belief, comes a change in the heart. And a change in the heart means you avoid sin. And since there is no avoidance of sin, your heart's not been changed, and you have only what is equivalent to the faith of the devil. And you could go to James 2:14 is really important too for you to study. James chapter 2 verses 14 through 26. Just start at verse 14.
Okay.
Because there it discusses in James true faith and false faith. And I have a friend, literally, who told me the story. He said that he was, he said it changed his life. He was coming back from Mexico, having visited prostitutes, and his car broke down on the U.S. side of the border. And he knew he'd have to call his, I think it was his cousin, Jesus freak cousin, and he knew he'd have to put up with the Jesus freak stuff. And but he had to do it because he needed help, and so his cousin, whatever, whoever it was, said, praise God, I'll come pick you up, and he does. And my friend said that he said to this guy that he believed in God, and the man, and this guy turned it to my friend and said, the devil believes in God, and he trembles.
You're no better
than the devil. And it shook him up, and it helped him come to Christ. Sometimes you got to tell them the truth. All right?
Okay. All right, Matt. Thanks a lot. I'll read those verses.
All right, man. God bless. All right. That was
right.
James from Wake Forest, North Carolina. The next longest waiting is Daniel from California. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. How you doing today?
By God's grace, doing well. What's up, man?
Great. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for texting me about my question on the JWs and wickedness and all that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So I got to finish that. Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. I wanted to ask you two quick questions. The first is something I still get confused with. I know the book of James, when it talks about work, not talking about you need to work for salvation.
Right.
But I know that it says that your works justify you, but then Romans says that grace is what justifies
right.
you. So how can I deal with that?
Easy, by reading the context. Let's look at James 2:14. And we'll start there. Now, I'm going to teach you a concept, and I'm going to ask you, which one is it, vertical or horizontal? Vertical is between God and man. Horizontal is between man and man, or between people. Okay? Vertical or horizontal.
Okay.
Which is James talking about? What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So what is that, vertical or horizontal?
I guess that would be horizontal.
Exactly correct. Verse 18 is the critical verse. You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works, I will show you your faith by my works. See, you don't know if I have true faith or not. You have to look at my works. Same with you. You can say it. Let's see it. That's what it comes down to. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, O foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? He's talking to the horizontal. Okay? And he goes on, he says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Justified before who? Before God or before man? It's obviously it's before man. Because what James is saying, he put his money where his mouth is. That's how you know that he has true faith. That's what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to Romans 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God.
Mm.
At vertical or horizontal?
That's vertical.
Vertical. So what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited him as righteousness. Not to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him, that's vertical, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Romans 4, 1 through 5 is vertical. James 2, 14 through 26 is horizontal.
That's okay. Perfect answer. Thank you so much.
You are welcome so much. Hope that helps.
Can I ask you my second question?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry about that.
Right.
So I follow a guy named Marcus Rogers who's big. I just found out he's like Oneness Pentecostal. He's big all over social media about
he's a heretic.
Pastor and preacher. And all.
He's
yeah,
a false
and
teacher.
I just found
yeah.
that out. Yeah. But I wanted to ask because the reason I saw that was because I saw he did a debate with Dr. James White about the Trinity, mm-hmm. and I wanted to see, because I used to be a Unitarian. I came into quote-unquote faith during the Jehovah's mm-hmm. Witnesses, and I used to believe the Unitarian doctrine that they gave
right.
me.
Right.
But is okay. the Trinity, do you have, is that a salvation issue?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Now, did Abraham believe in the Trinity? Did David believe in the Trinity? Most probably not. Now, what do you do with someone who just doesn't know what's going on, walking down the street, hears a church service, goes in, listens to a gospel message, trusts in Jesus as your Savior, the man realizes he's a filthy, vile sinner, and he trusts in Christ, and he's born again. He doesn't even know what the Trinity is. Is he saved? Well, yeah. So, in that sense, the Trinity is not necessary to understand and believe and affirm in order to be saved. However, the Holy Spirit bears witness of the truth of God because he indwells us. Now, what if you find someone who says, no, I openly deny the Trinity. How long have you been following the Lord, supposedly? Oh, you know, 10 years. And you deny the Trinity? Yes. Well, then I would have to doubt your salvation because the Holy Spirit bears witness of the truth and the Trinity is the truth. So, therefore, we can't say that you're a true Christian. I wouldn't, but I also
gotcha.
Don't say, it doesn't mean you're not a true Christian. I would then say, do you believe, I always do this with people in this context, do you believe you have to be baptized to be saved? It's two sides of the same coin. If they deny the Trinity, they're usually requiring some ceremony in order to be saved. It's just the way it is. Because they don't have a true understanding of God, they don't have a true understanding of Christ, they don't have a true understanding of grace. And 90% of the time, they'll say, of course you got to be baptized to be saved. And I ask other diagnostic questions. And then I get into the other issues of works. And then I'll say, can you lose your salvation?
Right.
Of course you can lose your salvation. Really? Then what do you got to do to keep it? Well, here are the things you got to do. And then, you know. So it one thing is leads to another. All right? So the Trinity, the technical answer is you don't have to believe it in order to be a Christian. Technically. But normatively, yes, you do. Because the true doctrine of God will be affirmed by Christians as time goes on.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you.
Amen. God bless, buddy. All right. That was Daniel. Let's get over to Lisa from Iowa. Hey, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call, Matt.
You're welcome.
I have a fairly, well, hopefully simple question. My granddaughter came home from a vacation Bible school with a child's version of a Bible, and of course she's really interested in reading it and talking about it. And back when I was younger, I attempted to start reading the Bible from beginning to end, and I think I got lost somewhere in Leviticus and gave up.
Yes.
And so my question is this.
I'm laughing.
Is there a resource that people can use that helps explain
sure.
what they're reading in the Bible?
Cause absolutely.
It's so confusing.
Well, hold on, because we've got a break coming up, and I'll answer the question, okay? Right after the break, folks, let's get back to Lisa. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back. Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick. All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get right back to Lisa from Iowa. Lisa, are you still there? Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, okay.
I'm here.
All right, so want some resources to make study easier so you understand stuff?
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay, I got three things for you, all right? One okay. is you go on the web and go to e-sword.net, e-sword.net. It's a free
okay.
Bible study, Bible thing, has commentaries, has all kinds of stuff. It's a Bible program. And you're going to find
okay.
it's full of great information. Great. You'll have commentaries. You'll be able to study. You can look up verses, read commentaries about it, and it's free. sword.net, eSword.net. Okay?
Okay.
And then khouse.org. K, the letter K, house, just khouse.org. Chuck Missler, he passed away last year, but Chuck Missler was an incredible Bible teacher. I don't agree with everything he had to say, but hey, I learned a great deal from him. And there's MP3s you can get and listen to. And let me tell you, he's not your average everyday Bible teacher. He does stuff with the text that is just amazing. And it's really interesting stuff.
Okay, great.
And then the third resource is carm.org, C-A-R-M.org. I've written many, 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 many articles on Christian theology and things on Bible difficulties. So you can go there and read up on articles on what the Trinity is. Let's say you're reading through, you're listening to Chuck Missler, hypothetically. You look up a verse, and the topic of the Trinity comes up. You go to Carm, look up the Trinity. You can get all the verses and stuff like that and see how it's arrived at. Between those three resources, seriously, you'll be able to grow immensely in your faith, okay?
So, Matt, do you mm-hmm. suppose it's Christ's expectation that we fully understand everything in the Bible? Is that even possible?
No. Look, I've been studying the Bible pretty heavily for 39 years. I have a Master's of Divinity. I'm on the radio 5 days a week. I answer emails.
Yep.
I teach and write. And I would not say, oh, I understand the Bible completely. No way. I understand a lot of it,
okay.
but there's so many things I've still yet to learn and apply. The Bible is an incredible book. But you need to know the basics, and you'll get to a level where, hey, I understand what's the basics of what's going on. That's where I'm at, the basics. And then we just add on.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
All right.
I felt like such a loser when I couldn't even get halfway through and just thought, forget it. I'm never going to get this. It was
hey, don't worry about
tough,
it.
But okay.
Don't worry about it. Leviticus is
I'll
a killer
take care
book.
Of, I'll look at these resources.
Okay, sounds good.
Oh, I All guess. Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, God bless. All right, that was Lisa. Let's get over to Joey from Charlotte, North Carolina. Joey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call, and I respect your ministry and you a lot.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, sir.
All right.
The sweet lady that called in earlier about people that have never heard the gospel and babies, where do they go?
Yeah.
I guess my question is, I agree with what you said, even as harsh as it is as humans, that's possible. But mm-hmm. am I wrong in the lady just now called, and when you said, you know, that we're, you know, God hasn't revealed everything to us.
Right.
Am I wrong in saying, like, my favorite attribute of God is that he's a just God,
mm-hmm.
and that I'll leave it at that, that baby, that God's a just God, and I trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong in that being my answer?
No, it's not wrong at all. You trust the justice of God, but there's a thing called divine simplicity, and God's nature is not divided up into parts. So he's equally just as well as holy, as well as righteous, as well as merciful.
Sure.
And
sure.
So I understand, you know, I mean, me, I like his grace. I don't want justice from God. I want grace.
Right.
I don't want what I deserve. I don't want that. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But am I being simplistic when I say God's a just God? I can't explain the person that said, you know, in the jungle, or the poor baby that didn't have a chance to make a decision. Am I wrong in saying I'm going to leave it that God is just God, and I trust in that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the way I put it, I don't use those words. You can. I just say it. I trust that God will always do what's right, even with them. Yeah. And it's in His hands. And right. I just leave it at that. Whatever happens is the right thing. Wouldn't you agree? Well, what's your position?
Yeah.
And then they go, what's your position? I go, well, my position is that I don't know what happens. I just trust God on that.
Right.
And there you go.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I just want to throw that out. Sweet lady that called.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if God decides to send that poor baby to Hades, it's
the right thing to do.
I don't like that thought. Right.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do. If he goes to heaven, it's the right thing to do. God will do what's right.
Right.
He just doesn't tell us about stuff like
okay.
that. So that's okay. All right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. He just tells us everything. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless, Joy. All right, let's jump over to Nick from Utah, and he wanted to know about a Karm app. And my wife and I were just talking about that today. If anybody knows anything about getting a Karm app going, contact me, because we need to get something like that going. Let's get over to Russell from Ashburn, North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. What do you got?
Okay, the question I had, I was listening to you yesterday. You mentioned something about secondary essentials.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't know if I misheard you, because I was in the car driving, and a lot of times
right.
my attention is divided. I was in an accident years ago. And,
okay.
You know, but anyway, you
want
mentioned
me
the virgin birth. Huh?
Let me explain what I mean by primary and secondary essentials, okay?
Right, yes, no. yes.
The primary essentials are those essential doctrines of the Christian faith that have within them, in the text, a warning or a judgment. So, for
right.
example, John 8:24, Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. So that statement
right.
is an essential with a warning. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins.
Yeah.
Here's another one, Galatians 5:4. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. So that's a statement about mm-hmm. salvation by grace alone. And we can go to Romans, 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ is not raised, your faith is futile. It's in vain. So there's a statement
right.
with a warning, with a consequence, with a judgment attached to it. So I call those primary essentials because they have a statement associated with their denial or lack of affirming. There's a consequence. All right?
Right.
But mm-hmm. the virgin birth is also an essential doctrine, but there's nothing like it assigned to it. Nothing in there says, unless you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin birth, you cannot be a Christian. It doesn't say anything. So because of it, I don't call them a primary, because they don't have a consequence associated with it or stated with it.
Yeah.
It just
right.
says it's a virgin birth. So it's a secondary essential. So that's how I divide them up, primary and secondary.
Well, I just wonder, because the church that I was saved in, and they were, you know, there was the virgin birth was a must. I mean, that was...
Of course it's a must.
Say, well, yeah.
It's an essential doctrine.
You show me any church that doesn't believe in the virgin birth, I'm going to show you a church that is going to say, hey, honey, let's welcome every transgender
right.
communist, Satanist in here. And believe me, you, buddy, I mean, I live in a small town. There
well,
is a
what.
Church in this town that, you know.
Let me clarify.
Okay.
That primary
yeah.
and secondary essentials are essentials. I'm only
yeah.
dividing
mm-hmm.
them up in the sense that one group has a warning explicitly stated in the text. The other group does not.
Yeah.
But they're both essentials.
Right.
Okay?
Right,
man.
Okay. I see what
right.
you're saying. I probably kind of disagree with you, but, you know.
That's all right.
Hey, you've got a right to feel that way, and, you know.
Well, go to Karm and look up
right.
their essential doctrines of essential Christian doctrines. Just search for essential Christian doctrines,
right.
and you'll see. And it's all laid out there with the scriptures and the whole bit. Okay?
Okay. Thank
okay.
you, Daddy.
All right. God bless, man. That's Russ from Ashboro, North Carolina. Let's get over to Dion from Salt Lake City. Hey, Dion. Welcome
yeah,
to the show.
Dion. Yeah.
Okay.
A question. I go to a Baptist church, and we have a lady on staff who is women teaching women, kind of women connecting with women.
Good.
They call her pastor.
They
call
should
her
not.
A pastor.
They should not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because she's not a pastor.
Teacher.
A pastor, pastor teacher is out of Ephesians 4:11, and a pastor preaches and teaches. And in 1 Corinthians 5:17, talks about the elders to give them double honor, and they're the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. So a pastor is by definition.
Should she be an elder?
A pastor is by definition an elder. And elders can only be males. They cannot be females. Okay, and so that's out of 1 Timothy. That's 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. Now, if they make the mistake of calling her pastor, then what they're doing is they're making a big mistake. So let's just say there are people who go into that church and they hear Pastor Susan, whatever her name is. Then they move across country for whatever a job, and they find a church that has a woman pastor. Well, they had a woman pastor over there. They can do it over here. It's for this simplistic reason. And I just wish that people would stop trying to be politically correct and stick with the Word of God. God knows what He's doing.
Yeah.
We don't. And so they should not call her a pastor, period. And if I were you, I'd go to them and say, there's this guy on the radio.
Second question.
Says,
are you sure?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Second brief question, because it's almost 5 o'clock.
It's all right.
We're studying Revelations in a small group. And we're on 3:12, and it says, and I guess it's Jesus speaking, and I will give you my new name. And the people in the class, well, whose name? Jesus going to have a new name? Is he giving me a new name? What does that mean? Whose new name?
I don't know exactly.
I don't have my Bible in front of me.
I don't know exactly, but let me, because I haven't looked at this in a long time, so I'm not going to try and make something up. But I will say this, that remember...
Okay.
Abram, his name was changed to Abraham.
So, right.
And there's several places in the Bible where people's names are changed from Saul to Paul. And so there's this idea.
Peter.
So there's an idea that when you are used of God, redeemed of God, etc., you get a new name. And I think what Revelation here is talking about is that the idea of the newness of who and what you are through your new name.
Right,
and
character-wise.
Yeah, so it might literally be a new name you get, but it might just be that what he's talking about is you get a new name as a reference to the new calling. Because, for example, the word Methuselah means when he dies, it will come. And, you know, so Sarah means, or Isaac means laughter. So we have these names that mean things, not necessarily that their name has to be changed, but there's a meaning behind the name. And I could go in more, but we're out of time. Okay?
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Diane. Deanna?
Yes.
Deanna. Okay, God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, back on there tomorrow. And hopefully, we'll talk to you then. Have a great night, okay? God bless. Bye.